Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lenning School Watch with Diane Lenning. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about politics and the political election in America yesterday, on November 6, 2012. We want to talk about how it would affect the world and our lives and different segments of our lives. Call in our toll-free number. I'll give you a minute. 1-877-497-9937. Diane Lenning with Lenning School Watch. Tonight's subject will be about politics. We'll begin shortly. Tonight's subject will be about politics. We will be starting in just half a moment or so, so hang in there with us. Thank you. thankful for those things like Beethoven that we just listened to. Some of the old tried and true traditions are worthy of holding on to, aren't they? This is Diane Linning, your host, coming to you live from California as a retired educator of over 30 years. I'm interested in people learning how to work together, how to achieve our common goals and purposes in life. And it takes getting to know one another and talking with one another. Sometimes that's difficult. The art of conversation has somehow gone by the wayside in modern era, where few sit on the front porch anymore and talk politics or talk politics over the fence or from the backyard porch. But we could use some more of that nowadays, couldn't we? I'm going to open in prayer tonight. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us, although we don't, or many of us don't, understand why the election has turned as it has. We know and trust that you are in control, and that as long as we follow our plans, your plan for our lives, God, that you will fulfill your purposes within us. And we look to you tonight, Lord, on where we should go from here. And help us to speak the wisdom that you would give each one of us as we share our vision, our goals, our understanding of things, so that we can come together in unity, in force and purpose, to achieve what is good and best for the world and for humankind, and not for the purposes of ourself or greed or power, but that your purposes would be achieved. And we pray the many blessings upon our listeners and upon America and our friends around the world, that your message would be clear and open to each and every person around the world, and that they would be receptive to it. In Jesus' name, amen. I do have a caller on the line. Thank you for calling in. I just want to start the show a little bit with a couple of my ideas of what I want to talk about tonight and how we can share and interact with one another. I'd like to talk about politics, about the election, what happened, but not spend too much time on what happened unless it's going to help us to look for the areas that we want to work together now to move forward in the future. I'm looking for how politics is a part of our lives, how we should be involved in it, in our world, whether it should be in our schools, in our religious arena, with our families, our business, and our friends. How can we work in these areas within the laws of America in which we've been so confined, to achieve our mutual goals of what we know and feel to be best for America? And should we even be involved in politics? Well, I'm just going to answer that quickly. I think in America, because our republic is of, by, and for the people, that all of us need to be involved in politics. Otherwise, we're not functioning in the formation of a republic. And secondly, if you choose to be involved in it in other ways, that's your prerogative. But if you're not, that means you've abdicated your input to whoever else is in that arena, and they're going to control it. So with that said, I'm going to ask my first caller in just a moment to speak, and I'd like the callers, when they call in, to say just your first name and what state you're from. If you want to say what city, that's fine, but you don't have to. And if you want to tell just a little bit about yourself, that's fine. You don't have to. And if you have a question, ask that first. But I'd like it to be, as much as we can, a two- or three- or four-way conversation. And I'm so glad someone has called in here. Okay, welcome, caller. Please give us your name and where you're from.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Ty Rose.
Hi, nice to have you call in, Ty.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw your thing on Facebook, so I was like, you know, I'm going to call in.
Great.
I'm from California. but I've lived in Arizona for a year now. I moved here to get away from California.
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, Atlanta for many reasons. Politics for one, prices, just everything there, just the way people are. I wanted to start off by saying, you know, when I grew up, you know, we didn't have computers and stuff like that, and we went outside to play, and we had Pledge of Allegiance at school, we had prayer at school. There was no shootings, no bombings, none of that kind of stuff. I mean, there was a lot of respect for the way you respected your teachers, your principal, everything, the way I was raised. That's the problem with it, is now's generation is out of control. And that's, to me, is the biggest problem in America. People got complacent, the parents even, you know, with the kids, and it's just out of control. As far as politics go, they're the problem, you know, the big problem with it, and that's because, you know, this country was founded on God. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, in our court walls, in our money, everywhere. I mean, and it saddens me to see what America has become. We've actually become like a third world nation, and it's really sad to me. And it's because we've put God out. I mean, there's so much evil in this world compared to when I was a kid. I mean, you've got, especially with the internet, you know, and what you see on TV and then the media, and it's so sad to me what this world has come to, especially our country. And you know, and I pray every day, you know, and I was, and even though I'm not, I'm not what I would consider a real smart political type of person. I don't try to really get into all that stuff, but I did watch the debates, of course, and watched all of it. And there was a lot of times that Romney was doing really good, and there's a few times where he messed up, you know, where he could have done better. And of course they missed taking that word from what he said, you know, but he should explain it better, probably not use it at all. You know, that really hurt him a lot. But basically, in general, I basically think what America really needs is to get back to the foundation it was raised on. Get back God back into the schools. We need to start praying. We need to, instead of, you know, feeling down or upset or bashing, we need to come together and win these people, you know, over with through prayer. Prayer is powerful, you know. People don't realize it. We just prayed, you know, and did our part. Like, I signed petitions. You know me, Diane. I make videos and share them on my social sites. I do my part. I mean, you know, that's the only thing we can really do, I mean, is coming together. You know, if we don't, we're going to lose this. And, you know, and it's never too late. I think we can still... You know, we need to not just pray about this, but like I said, stand up. But let's work on getting him impeached. I mean, he's broken so many laws; it's not even funny.
Well, Ty, you have really hit on my areas of forte, because I've been an educator for over 30 years, and my family, all my life, one grandparent on one side and one on another, were pastors, and my father used to lead. Church music, and so me being an educator, and I've been a Bible teacher, and I've worked with kids in all the different cultures in both public education and in the religious circles and environment, and I have seen, like you say, a dramatic loss of our value system, of our culture that we used to have, that we could rely on certain things happening and not happening from day to day. And it used to be that we could rely on that our communities would be safe, that the kids could go out and play, that people would not steal too many things from us, that they would not plot and cheat and connive with how to take our businesses from us or overtax us or how to make laws to restrain us and deprive us of our religious liberties in all our arenas of our lives. You know, we have many arenas of our life. We have the world to start with, and then we have our continents, our countries, and it's all encompassed in politics, everything. I look at politics as the umbrella of our culture, our religion, our family, business, friends, and everything. And within that framework, within our state, our county, and down to our city, our local community, we have our culture that is carried forth through our schools, our religious community, through our families, through our businesses, through our friends, and through our community civic organizations. Now, what I have seen happen, and I'd like your ideas on some of this, is I have seen other things crop up that are like an underlying or under-the-table kind of culture that has all its other own kinds of things. Like we have a drug culture. We have an illegal market culture of all kinds of things, of business, of sex and human trafficking, of illegal immigration. We have all this under-the-table culture that is denied or not addressed and that is allowed to flourish in front of our eyes to the detriment of everyone, including those living in that under-the-table culture. Their lives are not the best of what they could be either. And I think this coincides with what you were saying, that we need to get back to the basics of who we are as a people in our communities individually and in our networkings, and in a way that is above board and honorable and that fits within the framework of the values of our Constitution and our Republic.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you were saying earlier, that is to say a little bit about me and what I was going to, and I was going to do that, and I forgot because I kind of just went straight to the point. But, and this kind of captures into what you were talking about, is 2 years ago, I was actually about a year and a half ago, I was downtown L.A. at the Dream Center there. It's Dream Center is a huge place down there. A lot of people
know
about it.
I know, with Tommy Barnett, right?
Exactly. And I
give them money.
I went to that church for a year, and I served there for 6 months as an intern. We would go to adopt a box every Saturday. We would reach out to these, you know, these communities, and we would pray with them and give them food and hygiene products and stuff. And the one thing that really troubled me the most down there, that just broke my heart, was and it's all part of this government politicians. Watching these families suffer while their boyfriends or their little boy kids or whatever, teen kids were out there, you know, pregnant at 18 years old, on social security and welfare and all that crap, food stamps, and yet they're driving around, they got these big screen TVs, you know, in these houses, they got these nice cars with rims and big stereos, tattoos all over them, they're buying drugs. And they're doing it off our money, you know, and that to me just breaks my heart. It's like that's what this society has become, and the government is the problem. They've let it do it, and we're not the problem because we've let the government do it, you know. And we back in the days, I mean, people would stand up. I mean, they would, you know, they would fight. They were proud. People have gotten lazy and complacent nowadays. They really have, and it's sad. And our society, because of it, letting the government get too big, and we're paying for it. And we're paying
well, you
for
know,
it.
Ty, I would like to say again, repeat something you said there, is
okay.
We are not resentful of it. We hurt for people like that because we
mm-hmm.
see them suffering, but yet our hands are tied because the government restricts us from helping them in a way that we know would benefit them.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time we were passing out free sandwiches, and they actually gave us a ticket because we didn't have a certificate to do that. Like, there's certain things about California, like, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me, really? We're trying to help them out. Like, and they had a problem with it. I mean, it just blew me away.
I'm surprised they didn't ask you for a tax.
Oh, hey, you know, I'm surprised they didn't take us to jail. I mean, it's gotten out of control. It's insane. Just the things I saw down there, and it's just like, and there's a lot of families down here who really do need that help, you know?
Yes,
and,
they're sincerely in trouble and need a leg up.
Is that 70% of them that I saw down there did not need the help. They were just, you know, it was just extra money to them. I mean, they did their things. They sold drugs. They, you know, did God know what. I mean, you know, it was just insane. I could just go on forever. But that alone blew my mind. And I was down there to serve them and stuff. But at the same time, it really woke me up to those to the people that, you know, are on these lower incomes, and a lot of them are immigrants and stuff, you know, and they just, or they're just people who just don't care. They just don't care. They just want to live off of society for free with you know, nothing to report back to, or in other words, they don't have to take notes. You know, they live in these shelters or whatever, you know, and it's just all free, you know, and they go off every night and get drunk and get high and stuff and do whatever they do.
Ty, we have another caller, and I can lead you on, and we can do a three-way conversation, but I'd just like to update the caller before I bring the person in what we've been talking
about. That's fine with me.
We've been talking about an under-the-table culture that we've seen specifically here in California that does not live according to our structure that we knew growing up. They don't work the society through the normal structure that we were used to, like through the schools, through the religious community, the family, the business, the friends. And there's like an under-the-table community that seems to be perpetuated, fed, and nourished by our government. And I didn't say this to you, Ty, but I think that's where they get a lot of their voters. Because they give them free money and benefits, then these people get elected to the state, and then it grows into a bigger, huger monster. So let's see who.
They're talking about the Roddy Pecker show tonight.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. They said they got the Latinos. They took out all the troops to vote. You know, they got all the Latinos and the people on Social Security and stuff. You know, I mean, right then and there. I mean, that's. And that population has grown a lot. So I just knew that we were going to lose.
I want to say, too, that Ty and I both were saying, we're going to bring this caller in shortly, that we don't resent these people. We want to help them and we love them, but we believe there's a better way that we can help them and integrate them into the society and get them off of their dysfunction. So for our caller here, please say your first name and tell us where you're from, what state. Hello.
My name's James. I'm from Oregon.
Hi, James.
Hi, Diane. This is James Dysart.
Yes. Hi. How are you? I figured it was. I didn't want to say your last name, though.
Hold on.
Have you heard what we talked about at all, and do you have any comments springboarding off of what we said?
About the little subculture stuff they got going on?
Yeah, it's really big time in California.
So what do they do?
Well, they have a whole different lifestyle. They don't mainstream into much of our community structure that we had growing up here in California. When you talk of the schools, the libraries, the religious group, the civic groups, the businesses, the friends, it's sometimes based on drugs or income or government subsidies and different things that they work from one week to the next to go collect, and then they vote for these politicians who will continue to give them money, and the politicians tie many of our hands in order to help them in a more healthy way that would, like, get them educated, get them a job and a nice place to live.
Yeah.
Do you have that in Oregon?
I don't know. We got kind of a lot of communion kind of crap going on here, commune stuff going here too, you know. And it's, I mean, to some degree, it's good. You take the sex stuff and drugs out of it, you know. But in the government dependency. But I don't know. I think we're going to all have to. I think the point is come now where they're going to start. Attacking the people, you know. So I think we need to get our communities ready. And get our communication network down. They're already working now on the gun ban treaty again, and the and the communications taking over the internet. And that's the first. When the internet and the stuff goes down, then you know they're going to start parading into the big cities mostly, and then they'll do the small cities, you know, and they'll start taking the people that they view as dangerous, and then they'll start going on to town with everybody else, you know.
But what do you realistically think we can do about that?
Well, we can do everything. The thing is, people are looking at, like, okay, this, everybody's been programmed to look at the government, as the federal government, as that's the way everything's going. That's not. They're just a small number of people that don't control much in our personal lives. They can, aside from big, we get stuff handed down, laws handed down from them, and it creates a ripple effect and it causes things. But our local communities is, if people were thinking about the other way, about the grassroots, because all the power exists in our localities. It's just that it's like a cell. The cells, each individual cell determines the health of the whole body. But the, you know what I mean? It's like the thing, we have all power over our local communities.
I think so, you've hit a key point, because I think that's how Obama won.
Well, he just stole it. I mean, he just stole it one community at a time, but through fraud.
Yeah.
But it's totally illegal, and that's gonna lead to the war. What's coming here? They know it, and they're gonna try and attack people now, before, and shut down the internet before they can be exposed, because that would overturn the election and imprison him.
Well, I know personally they greatly inhibited my ability to use it last Friday.
Yeah. I believe it. And they got rid of all the military votes. They got rid of 80,000 military votes and all this stuff. They've been fighting the military, and so, because they know that the military is greatly in the tank, is almost completely in the tank against Obama. So that's another thing you gotta realize. The military is on our side, okay? And they've known about this, and they have preparation. The people, Obama has a relatively low level security clearance, and Jarrett and the rest of them do. There's people in the military that have higher, I've heard, have much higher top clearance, secret clearances than they do, and they are prepared. The generals, high, big time generals and stuff, are prepared for all this stuff, and they've been ready to go against Obama for a long time.
Well, without giving anything away you shouldn't, how long are they going to wait to take care of this?
I don't know. The thing is, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Because that's, I don't have that clearance.
Yeah, I know. None of us do. We're down here wondering.
Exactly. And I'm not in the military. But this is what I've heard from people that would know in the military, just general on the, you know, people that are high ranks in the military have talked about this on the internet. So, and I believe that. I really do. You look at it, and if you got 75% of the military that are dead set against the person that's illegally their leader, how do you think that's going to go when he tells them to go destroy the country and all their families?
Well, why hasn't Benghazi been enough for them to impeach him, or for the military to do something, or the Congress to start impeachment? Do you know anything about what's impeding that?
Yeah, it's because all the corruption of all the other
Congress people?
Yeah, with all the other Congress people, they have, that's the way the secret combinations have taken over our government a long time ago, and it's gotten so bad that almost every single one, you have to be a criminal, almost have to be. Now, there's a few that are not, very few, but you almost have to be a murderer or a child molester or some kind of disgusting pervert or something, drug dealer or something, and have, in order to get in now, because they blackmail you with that information so that you don't turn against them. And that's what the mafia does, and they've become like the mafia. And
well,
so,
you know, to some listening, that may sound far out, but, you know, I actually believe you, because I know a Congress member, and it may or may not be mine. I know many of them, so I'm not going to say a name, who said there's only about 20 to 30 good Congress people left.
Oh, I believe that. I think mine are two of the good ones, because they've come out against indefinite detention, and very strongly, one of them. He campaigned against, he still is, Jeff Merkley. He's a Democrat, but I don't think he's part of the system. I don't think Kucinich is, and I'm not for a lot of Kucinich's socialist crap, but I don't think, but they actually cut him out of a meeting, a top secret meeting, which is illegal in the Congress, because he wasn't part of their. Yeah, this was like in the mainstream news. They wouldn't let him into this national security meeting years ago because he wasn't part of that. And he talked about it. He says,
he has a big mouth and he's willing to say things.
He talks about chemtrails openly. He talks about the false flag terrorism openly. He's not part of that. And Merkley's not. I don't think Rand Paul is.
I don't think he is, no.
or he, although I think they've shut him up to a degree at Bilderberg, but I don't think he is. I think Mike Lee is not. I don't think.
Well, don't say too many names, but they probably know anyway, right?
No, I think Joe Walsh, I don't think is. They know who exactly these people are, because if you're not in the group, you're not in the group.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to be the first people they go after anyways, and they know that. Michelle Bachmann, they're going to go after. She said she might run, get out. She's getting ready to get out of the country.
She won, though.
Yeah, she's probably going to wait. She's getting ready. She was trying to get her – she didn't say this, but she was trying to get a passport or something to Switzerland, dual citizenship or something. Because she knows what's up.
Are you serious?
There was a congressman that came about a year and a half ago that said – I don't remember who he was, but he, on video he says, everybody needs to get out of the big cities if you can. You and your families, get out because it's not safe anymore. The reason is they're going to blow the bridges on the big cities and they're going to turn them into giant concentration camps. And so people need to get out of the big cities. They need to build up their local communities and get air horns and think, well, air horns or whatever kind of horns, loud horns, and make a communication system for when they take the system down. You see somebody, the tanks going into your area, you start blowing that frickin' horn and you get everybody else to do it. And you get together in a group and get out and get somewhere safe with everybody else. And safety in numbers. Remember that. Get your food.
Can you get air horns online?
You can
buy them.
You can get a bugle. You can get it. Go on eBay. You can go to the pawn shop. You can go to the store. And get like a little those little canister air horns. They're like $5 or whatever. Just blow those suckers, and they're freaking loud. I mean, those ones in just the can pressurized air. They're like a few bucks or whatever, and they're extremely loud. You can't
so
miss.
What's a big city? How many people?
I would say all the big cities, all the major cities, all the metro areas, Portland.
Like Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, get the hell.
Yeah, definitely Los Angeles. Hey, you know what, Diane and James, go on YouTube. I'm sure you've watched the show before. If you haven't, you need to watch the show, Jesse Ventura's show.
Yeah.
Where he investigates his stuff, and he did one on it, and it's on YouTube. He's got like 3 videos on it, and it's all on the concentration camps. And they did a whole investigation on it, and I'll tell you what, it really opened my eyes. And they're all of them will be like where there's near train tracks where they can unload the people.
Right.
And they're already set up. The concentration camps are already set up. But go to YouTube and just look up Jesse Ventura's concentration camps. There'll be like 3 videos and watch it. And everybody listening to this show needs to watch. I've shared it on Facebook quite a few times in the past. And when I was watching a show, and I'll tell you what, real eye opener.
I watched that a year or two ago.
We're definitely going into a one world, new world order. That's just a given. That's not a conspiracy. That's a given fact.
But
what do either one
of you think? Why do they want to get rid of the people in the big cities? Those are mostly their voters.
Well, here's the deal. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to get rid of anybody who, whether they're Christians or against Obama, or in other words, anybody who comes against them or stands up against them, you're going to be put away. It's just that simple.
That's what they're going to try to do. But the thing is, they're extremely desperate now. Everything has gone against what they're trying to do. That's why they did risk this election fraud so openly, even though everyone knows it.
It's obvious.
But they're scared.
It's got to be done carefully, too, because they know we're going to fight back, and there is going to be another war. I mean, we're going to definitely have a war. That's just a given fact.
Think about Europe, World War II, the French were really smart. I don't want to say too much, but, there are a lot of ways you can work without being obvious, that you can have a big effect, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Use that scripture as your mentality. Be nice to Obama and all his people, and you don't have to necessarily work against him, but you don't have to help them. And you can protect those who are important and bind together. Now, many of us have gotten ham radios. Will those still work?
Yeah, they will.
Oh, yeah. Ham radios, CB radios. In fact, Diane, a year ago, I came up to, from California, I came to Arizona. It's right in the middle of Arizona. It's called Prescott Valley.
We used to own property there.
Okay, it's beautiful here, and I came to visit my sister for Thanksgiving. I fell in love, and I'm like, I'm not going back to California. I went back there for like 1 day, actually 2 days, to get my stuff out of the storage, and I came back, and I just moved here. I fell in love. And the reason why was the first weekend I was here is I was walking downtown, and they have this courtyard, and you know, there was this old street called Whiskey Row and everything. It was very historic, over 100 years old. And there's this huge concert with over 1,100 people, a big Christian concert. And it wasn't just one Christian church. It was all the Christian churches throughout the whole community came together, and there's a lot of them here. And they all came together, and they put all these musicians, and they had the speakers, and there was people raising their hands, praising the Lord and stuff. And I was like, wow. And I started going to a church here called Heights. And they do this event like every 3-4 months. They have a lot of community events. Most of the people here, you'll see like flags and crosses everywhere. It's really amazing the people here. This is a really, I would just say, tight community. A lot of people from California moved here, in fact, for the same reason I did. And to me, that's the one thing I liked when I saw that concert going on. I'm like, here's a community that is coming together in God. And I mean, there were kids there raising hands, bikers. I mean, people from like different countries were there just visiting, and they're like, they're right on raising their hands, you know. And it was just amazing. You could just feel the love and the spirit of God there. And that's why I fell in love with this community, and I decided to stay here. And people walk around here with guns on their hips. I mean, it's like going back in the days. It's great. I mean, people that are very respectful here are nice. It's kind of like, you know, that old Southern hospitality, almost in a sense.
Well, that's the way it was here in Orange County when I grew up.
And that's
in fact,
the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be.
Yeah, my grandmother lived in Arizona there in 1900.
Yep.
And their family.
And when I realized something is when I came here, it's like, do you imagine if every community did this, where everybody just got together and held, like, you know, concert events and brought people together and do it in God? Because, I mean, this is what this country was built on.
They won't
you know,
let us
God
do it here in California anymore. They don't allow it.
Well, all that's
yeah, oh, trust me, I know. Why do you think I got out of there?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I mean, the Dream Center, we would have live concert events and stuff, you know, out in the streets and stuff. And they wouldn't stop us, you know. But at the same time, it's like for instance, one time we were giving out like bicycles and stuff, and I watched one guy, you know, want a bicycle, and then he went and sold it for drugs. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's just it's really boils down is what I liked about, like I said, the event, the concert event and stuff, and all the churches coming together was it brought people together, and it changed the whole. I mean, it's like it's amazing. You can just see how strong this community is. You run into people you know, like you're like, hey, I mean, people are just, it's different. In California, if I'm walking down the street and someone's walking by or I'm driving by, and you wave at them, they look at you like you're crazy. Here, if you don't wave back, they think there's something wrong with you.
Well, I don't
I mean,
know if you both know, but social science is my background, and I spent many years as a counselor in the prisons with the gang members, as well as working with street people. And one of the first rules of healthy living is don't feed the dysfunction in the people, in the addict or whatever, the street person. You don't give them money. You help them to work a way out. And so that's why I'm so strong in education, being an educator as well. And when I worked with those young men in the prison, they were excited to get an education. But it had to be somebody who stuck with them, even in a bad situation, and showed that we cared about them enough to educate them. And they were really glad to get that. But their environment was so bad that it's going to take people from outside the area to just intervene. In our, you know, they don't use social science and psychology anymore. It's kind of like the forbidden language because we use words that kind of describe it like it really is. But we have huge dysfunctions in our society throughout America, but it's dramatic in Los Angeles County. It's just, it's like a little science lab where all the dysfunctions have just grown out of whack.
Well, in one year of living here, I'm not exaggerating at all. I've ran into over 40 people who have moved from the Los Angeles area or San Fernando Valley area, where I was from, and they all moved here for basically all for the same reason. They're just like, you know, I wasn't ready to raise my kids in that environment. I mean, it's insane. It's like, here, there's no prostitution. You don't see drug dealings going on the street. You don't see graffiti in the walls. There's none of that kind of stuff, you know, here.
And okay,
in California,
Ty,
in L.A., it's everywhere.
You have tried, and I have tried. Boy, I've worked my whole life trying to help in this stuff, but nothing's working. We're being overcome by the world, who's coming in through people with this Agenda 21, with the socialism, with demonic worship. They're not Christians who are coming in with this stuff, and they want to get rid of us. They want to overtake us. They are feeding and selling the kids these drugs. They want them to get hooked on it. So how do we fight all that? And, you know,
That's why I loved when I came here, and that's what it's like to me. It was like a godsend when I saw all the churches come together and in concert and praising God, and the speakers gave like amazing words about how the community needs to stay together and work together and be there for each other, and it's amazing. They have events here all the time downtown, and I felt like when I came here, I felt like I was a kid again. That's the way it used to be when I was a kid, the way I was raised. I mean, the schools here, everything here is just like it used to be.
I just thought of something. And James, you tell me the answer to this one. Do you think this could be part of their plan to get rid of the dysfunction? It's all in these cities.
No, they're trying to get rid of humanity, and they're trying to take over. But remember, they're not in charge. The Lord's in charge, and why is He allowing these evil-minded people to do this? And that's because there's a far greater threat to the world and to society and to our families and ourselves. Because of the extreme wickedness and the murders that are going on, he's letting them hang themselves. Okay. He's getting rid of these secret societies, all of these sex trade operations,
human trafficking.
Yeah. The drug dealing, the crime syndicates. He's getting rid of all the abortion stuff. He's getting rid of the Satan worshipers and their groups, and he's getting rid of the government. This is
Obama?
No, the Lord.
Oh, the Lord is, yeah.
The Lord's allowing destroy themselves. Look in the scriptures, it says the wicked shall slay the wicked. Okay, by doing this, they're rushing to their own grave. They're destroying each other. We don't need to worry about any of this. We just need to stay away from the violence, to protect ourselves, you know, be able to protect yourself if somebody comes rushing in on your house or something, you know, if you can, you know, but just mainly use communication networks and like Tim said, you know, get together with other churches. It's all communication and spirituality is the key to this, and getting food and water storage in as much as you can, and being prepared. See, the way we win this is by sticking with close to the Lord, and by remember how, what is it, Indiana Jones in the movie in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, him and Marion were totally outnumbered by all those Nazis and stuff, and but they were the two that survived, right? Why? Because they did what was right. They stuck to the Lord, and they just waited it out. They just were strong. They stayed strong. They stayed positive, and they just waited for the Lord to take care of it. And
how much do you think people would need as far as a month, 2 months, 3 months in food and water?
As much as you can get. I mean, you're going to need at least 72 hours. I mean, that's extremely low. But, I mean, if you can't get anything else, get at least 3 days, because you will starve to death or die if you don't have enough water and, you know, and stuff coming. I mean, you're gonna be pretty much probably finished if you don't have 3 days' supply of, you know, food and water.
Well, we'll also be targets for people who want to come and steal it from us.
Yeah, there's right, exactly. And I would definitely, but I would get as much as you possibly can. The church says get a year's supply, but most people, especially now, we're not going to be able to do that, you know, because it's so late in the day. But
well, you know, the Mormons are really good at that. You know that. But we Christians are not good enough at that. How can we get a fire lit under Christians to do this? They seem to not understand it.
Well, we're Christian, but the...
Well, I mean those who aren't Mormons, yeah. They don't do it like you do.
Well, we don't. The thing is, most people in the church don't do it like we do.
But the church seems to have storage.
Oh, the church... They can, the church can feed a lot of people, but they've known all about all, they've been prophesying about all this stuff that's been going, that's going to happen for like 75 years. In detail for like 75 years. And
well, we've heard it in our religion too, but I think, yeah, I have read your information. It is much more detailed, but after you finish your thought there, will you tell us about the word that came from your church about Romney and what you think happened. But finish your thought there.
Oh, you know, it's just the thing is, church can feed like 100 million people, but that's not including the members. But most of the members have not listened to the council and gotten a year's supply. So a lot of the members are going to die from starvation.
Oh.
Because there ain't going to be enough for everyone, and they've been told, you know, that they haven't even tried. So, you know.
Well, we've been trying to teach the story of Joseph again. Remember, it was 7 years of famine.
Well, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now, is both spiritually and food-wise, that's what's going on right now. And the thing is, people think, well, the whole world's going to be taken over by the New World Order, but it's not. The New World Order is going to have very tenuous power for a very limited time, but it'll be over a lot of areas and stuff. But it's not going to be everywhere, and it's not going to be able. And we need to strengthen our communities and make sure that our communities are not part of the New World Order. And if we have food and water, we're not going to have to be part of it. If you look in the scriptures, it says that only those that wanted to buy or sell were part of it, took the mark of the beast. And that's a big part of it, is the people who have food and water aren't going to, and their own communities are functioning on like they should, like Tim said. We're not going to be needing to go to the government and take the mark of the beast in buying and selling. See,
well, do you think it should be like 3.5 years, half the time of the tribulation, or the whole 7 years we should store food?
You know, Diane, I'm glad you said that word, tribulation. I know you probably know that I studied the Bible with a Bible scholar for 3 years. And the one thing that I really, really got into, and I made sure of it because I asked a lot of questions about it, and that was that there's a tribulation and a pre-tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, he was very smart, this guy. I mean, he knew the Bible inwards, backwards, biblically, historically, geographically, Hebrew, Greek, you name it. This guy was amazing. He would blow up my... I mean, every time I'd go to his class, I would just sit there like, wow, my mouth dropped. But he went more for the pre-tribulation, and he brought up scripture on it, and I wish I could remember it offhand, but I don't. But basically what he was saying, and I've done a lot of studying since then, and what I've come up to is that the fifth seal has been broken. And if you read in Revelation, after the fifth seal has been broken, when the sixth seal is broken, in pre-tribulation, the Bible says we're going to be caught up. Okay, and then there's going to be 7 years of basically hell on earth, and that's going to be the New World Order, you know. And for the first, like, probably three and a half years, it's going to be really great. Everyone's going to be like, oh, the Messiah, this is the new Messiah. They're going to be deceived. And then that's when all hell's going to break loose. And then after the 7 years, that's when God's going to return, and he's going to end it all. So, you know, if you believe in pre-tribulation, we're not going to be here for it. We're going to be gone. So I thank God for that, you know, and it basically tells us in the Bible also to prepare for yourself and get ready, you know. And so you can do that through, like James says, we could do it through the churches and community. We can do a lot of prayer, fasting, also just preparing for always prepare for the worst, you know, like. Even where I live, me and my roommate, we've got a whole closet full of food. We're working on getting the water set up, you know, as well. I'm working on getting myself, maybe some kind of weapon to protect myself. But, my real weapon is God. I mean, God's got my back, so I don't really worry about it. And the mark of the beast, a lot of people will think, like, it's going to be like a 666 on your forehead. No, if you do some study, it's actually going to be a national ID card. And you'll have, like, a little chip in there. And they'll know everything that you do, everywhere you go, I mean, everything. And so a lot of people wouldn't call that crazy, but they can look it up themselves. But that's what it's going to be. And you'll have to have that card, too, like James says, to buy or sell. So it's best. A lot of people, in fact, they're in an art church. They have their own gardens now, their own greenhouses, their own, I mean, everything. They're ready. They're ready. You name it. They got weapons. They got bow and arrows. They got anything and everything you could think of, you know?
Right. Yeah, see, this is also like the days of Noah. The Lord's taught us in the scriptures how to prepare for these, like in the days of the Joseph of Egypt and the days of Noah. Like, we just need to get in the ark, get our righteous community together, stay away from the wickedness, and get everything we need, all our food and water storage like we have in there, and stay close to God, and God will protect us in the ark. And that's we need to stand in holy places. And
now, many of us have family dispersed around, miles away from us. How can we preserve them?
Well, when everything hits a fan, that's when you want to get them to your place.
Okay.
Like ASAP.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would get the family together, in my opinion. But unless you think it would be better for them to not be around you, but I don't know.
Well, there's some reason we have a big house.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like my sister, my sister's got 5 acres. She says I bought this 5 acres for a reason.
Well, we used to have 2 acres over there, but we sold it to buy this house.
Yeah.
I love Arizona. But
yeah,
we didn't
Arizona,
want to leave our family.
Now, I visited Phoenix for 2 weeks, and because I was ready to move there, and I was like, this is too much like L.A., just hotter. And I was like, no. So I came back to Prescott Valley, and I mean, I'll tell you, this is it's growing fast here. I mean, I've never seen so many people from California in my life. It's amazing.
I know
they're like, and they're here for the same reason as me. They wanted to get away, you
yeah.
know? It's like, it's nice. Like, the other day, I'll give an example. I walked into the bank, and I was overdrawn because this stupid website thing, Vistaprint company, and I won't get into it, but I canceled my order. They didn't take care of it, so I would end up overdrafting on the bank. So I go in to talk to the manager, and as soon as I walk in, he's like, "Hey, Ty, how you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, God, this is so nice." You know, I love it here. I mean, I drive into Taco Bell, and I understand the person what they're saying, and they don't mess up my order. I love it. Anyways, I went off track there. But so the bank manager goes, "How can I help you, Ty?" I said, "I'm overdrawn." I told him why, and he says, "Listen, let's take care of it right now." You wouldn't find that. You won't get that kind of help in L.A. You just won't.
Okay, we have covered the aspect of how to self-protect, but I have a little thing going in which I am trying to reach out to the world to tell them the good news about the Lord, to receive the Lord. And we now, praise the Lord, have 4,000 listening a month around the world just reading the scripture and singing religious songs, and some of it, by the way, James, is Mormon music that's public domain. It's beautiful. And people are hungry for the Lord. I feel like it's a time to reap the harvest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what it's about.
In fact, there's a Christian... Oh, I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
No, that's what it is the dividing the wheat from the tares and strengthening the righteous and bringing us closer to God and destroying the wicked that will not repent. That's what this is about. It's cleansing out. It's the Cleon Skousen called it the cleansing of America, and
mm-hmm.
it's the cleansing of the world too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a world event.
Right.
They have a radio station here. I don't know if they had it here when you were here, Diane. They probably did. It's called Radio Shine. And I listen to it every day when I'm driving my truck. And I just love they're very just amazing people. I actually went to the office and spoke to them and prayed with them one time for like 45 minutes and just had a blast with them. We're just talking about everything. And you know, today they were talking about, there was this guy, and he was just amazing. And basically, what he was saying was that, you know, if you read the Bible, God has basically let Satan on a leash, and he's just let him go, you know. And obviously, God's got power over this, but he's let him run to see how, because he's given us a choice. We either have to come to him, or we're going to go with the world, you know. And that's why I'm like, now, I'm so careful what I watch on TV. I don't play video games. I don't. You know, any of that kind of stuff. I just want to get away. Just like Jane said, I wanted to get away from all that wickedness and get closer to God. And that's why I came here. And I decided to move here. And I was just like, I know that was a godsend. And it's like this guy was saying on the thing that God, he felt, and I felt the same way too. I was like, no way, that's what I was saying last night on Facebook. Like, I'm like, God let this happen for a reason. You
well,
let this happen
James,
for a reason. This is all part of his plan.
Yeah. James, do you think we should even be involved in politics anymore, or should we just give it up and get ourselves prepared?
That's a good point. I think you're probably right. I think I'm about done with it. I think we've been like we've done the same thing.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I think we've been like the prophets, like Noah, at this point, to a load of people. And what we've been doing for 7 years, we've been shouting out and warning people, and now people have chosen either to listen or to reject us. And I think we just need to leave them in their own filth if they're going to do that, and just protect ourselves now. Because I think you're right. I think it's beyond that point. I think people have made their choice. If anyone could, that's what boggles me. People that were actually, after all the corruption and evil and murders that Obama did and was proven to have done, and the fraud that he was in there to begin with, all that proof, there were still a lot of people that voted for him. And I know it was the minority, but still, they frauded it in there. But if there were those people that were still able to vote for him out of complete self-interest, even to the point of having other people killed, I had a friend who actually said that. She said, well, despite all of his drone bombing innocent children and all this stuff, she said this. She said, despite all this stuff that he's doing that's terrible and stuff, I still like him better than Romney because he's better. His policies are better for my family. In other words, her food stamps are more important to her, and she's willing to take part in that blood and bloodshed and support and put a man in there just so she can get a few more food stamps and candy bars a month, even if it meant blowing up another 100,000, 16-year-olds by drones, innocents. That was what she was.
That's appalling.
Couldn't believe it. I was in shock, and I'm like,
"Hey, you know what? I'm not in shock, James. I mean, I've heard some things that'll just blow your mind. Like, I mean, like down on Skid Row, I would ask people like certain things, certain questions about history, simple things, and they wouldn't know it. Like their Pledge of Allegiance or anything. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. One black guy." We got into the talk about the, you know, how I was talking to him, about like how he was talking about the KKK, and I said, you knew, and he's a Democrat, right? So I said, can I give you a little historical facts? And he goes, what? I said, who do you think started the KKK? He goes, I don't know. I said, the Democrats. He goes, right on, KKK. I was just like, looked at him like, and just shook my head like you, like, it just, the ignorance, it's like, it's just so... it's like, you can't, the mind can't comprehend it. It's like, they just... And I don't think they comprehend it because they look at it like it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like if they they're not taught history in school today like I was. And that's the problem. Like you ask them simple questions, they don't know.
They don't want to know.
Clueless.
You tell them they don't see. I've been harping on some people, and they know what I'm saying is true, but they won't even take 2 seconds. They say, oh, I don't believe what you're saying. And
yeah,
they
know what they are is they're blinded by the enemy. It's that simple. The enemy has blinded them. They have no heart or spirit in them.
Well, that yeah, and the reason is because they've become so self-centered and selfish and prideful that they don't want to listen to anything except what they believe. And they're going to die.
That's the word right there, prideful. That's the biggest sin, man, is pride.
The pride is
cometh
right before,
before the fall. Pride cometh before the fall. Well, that's not anything to laugh at, but it was kind of cute the way we couldn't get it out there. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of my hour, and I really enjoyed this hour with you two guys. I ought to do this every three months.
I'm glad that I was on, and I was, and because we talk all the time on Facebook, but I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. You know me, Diane. I don't. I even posted. I'm like, let them try. They'll have to kill me because I'm not going to stop.
Well, would either one of you or both of you be open to praying in our closing here? I want to pray last, but if you are willing to pray for our country and for each other, I would welcome that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start off, and then James can jump in after me if he wants, and then you can finish off, Diane.
Okay, thank you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come together. Lord, your word says, and your word is true, what you are more gathered, that you're there with us. Lord, we claim just not just victory in you, Lord, but that your love and your grace and your word gets out. And if it's not just through us, that it's just that it's a ripple that starts out and just grows and grows and grows, Lord. We pray that people come to you not just in faith, but that they lean on you and follow your word, Lord. And that's the one thing that I appreciate you, Lord, for giving me the heart and the guts with no fear to be able to tell people that, you know, they think they're Christians and they're living a Christian life, but your word is clear, Lord, you know, and same-sex marriage and abortion and the things that this world has come to is not of you, Lord. It is not of you, Lord. So we claim that you wake people up to the truth, open up their hearts and their eyes and their minds, and that they come to you, Lord. And we just ask that you also just set over a peace of sovereign, Lord, over everybody, Lord, that's upset or angry over this election, Lord, that you just calm their heart because, Lord, you have a plan. And everything, if we just lean on you, we're going to be okay. And that this is all happening for a reason. And I appreciate it, and I thank you, Lord, for this. I really do. Because I know that your will is always the will I want. So I just praise you, and I thank your name. Amen.
Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all our many blessings. We thank thee for our families and for the atonement and for the Holy Ghost protecting us. And please, Heavenly Father, please pour out thy Spirit upon all the righteous of this land and protect all of us and all our families that are trying to do right and follow thee. And please bring us closer to thee every day and take us out of Babylon, that we will reject it and we will be safe and strengthen our communities. And please protect us as thou didst the Israelites by flaming fire and rushing waters and everything that we cannot do. Please do for us, Heavenly Father, and lead us to safety. And please give us the ability to restore the Constitution to this land after the cataclysm. And please destroy all the wicked off this land. And destroy all secret combinations and all those evils that are done to the children and that have infiltrated our government. And please cleanse all of these things out of our society and help us to rebuild and replant thy righteousness in this land. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time to come together with our friends in the Lord. And we are so grateful to have grown up in America, but yet we are sad that the wonderful opportunity has been lost for many. But we know that the most important thing is that all come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we pray that during this time of separating the wheat from the tares, that the wheat would come together and shine in a glorious light that shows the love of God throughout the world, that others will see and know and recognize the Lord God for who he is, and that when Jesus returns again on the Mount of Olives, that your kingdom will come together, Lord, for your glory, and that we all will worship you in one accord and bow down to the true living God. And we pray that you will soften the hearts of the tares who have not yet seen the light, that they will be brought to you and wooed to you by your Spirit, Lord, and receive you in this last day before it is too late for them. Give each one in the world an opportunity to hear the good news and to make that choice for themselves. We pray for our president, Lord, that you will soften his heart, that you will draw him unto the Lord God, and that if he is a true Muslim, Lord, that you would take the shackles from his eyes and reveal the truth to him. It's never too late, God. We know that miracles can happen. We pray that your glory and that your purposes will be worked through this administration and through this country, through your Christians who you've raised up for your purposes around the world. And may America rise again as that shining city on the hill, the light of God and of his Son. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I could pray for hours. To me, that's
what I do. When I get in my truck, I just turn on my music and just praise him. You know, it just it's like it's just be me and him. You know, it's my favorite thing to do.
Well, we thank you for this time together, and we hope that those who hear will listen again. You can listen in at blogtalkradio.com/ Diane-Lenning. I have a show once a week. We're reading through the book of John, and I often have an interpreter to interpret. We go one chapter at a time, and often it's also in Thai, Chinese. I do Spanish, and we start Vietnamese next month, and I have a young man from Africa who speaks Swahili, and we're looking for more who are willing to do that. Because we believe the Word of God is life. It's God's love speaking to us through his Word. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And until next time, God loves you, I love you, and God bless America. Good night, all.
Good night, bye.
Take care. Good night. See you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.